if you were a ghost, what do you think would be the funniest thing to do to people to haunt them?
Probably kill their pets.
All right.
John's really John's really going for the pet owner fans we got.
They just piss me off.
And then they're blamed for being a bad pet owner, but the whole time they're like, I swear it was a ghost. And you're like, huh, no, sir, you're animal cruelty.
I know what I'd do. I'd make phone calls to people, and then I'd get another call, take the other call, and then never message the other person back or call the other person back. John!
I was about to say, you're describing me.
Yeah. Yeah, jerk.
Wait, is John a ghost?
No, this is what I would do if I was a ghost.
I feel like there's some Kelly John beef we gotta settle.
John called me the other day, and I was delighted to hear from him. I had just finished my walk with my brother. Called John back. I probably only missed his call by like 5 minutes. And then we started talking about what we're excited for in the game. And then he's like, oh, I'm getting a call from Mark. And I was like, oh, okay. I assumed, so he hung up, he took Mark's call. I assumed he was going to hang up with Mark and call me back. He didn't.
Yeah, that's
and then
what
he never messaged me and was like, oh, sorry, I didn't take your call. And he didn't call me back. So,
in my defense, I was on the phone with a lot of people that day.
It's true.
I understood. I was just
wait.
I thought I had priority because I had you on the line.
Didn't you call me after Mark?
I called Mark. At some point after I hung up with Kelly and talked to Mark, I talked to my brother.
Oh, right.
I was talking to a lot of people. That day, okay.
All I'm getting is that the worst thing Kelly could think up is literally ghosting somebody.
Literally ghosting somebody.
But
I would 100% possess computers, smartphones, electronic devices, and just do something that could be perceived as, oh, I just need to restart my computer, and it would happen at just the right frequency that people would still think, oh, I just need to restart my phone, I just need to restart the computer. Like, so, oh, like maybe like your podcast app just switches podcasts, or or your smart fridge starts playing Despacito, you know?
Random intervals, my podcast randomly just starts playing Joe Rogan. I don't get it.
It's like, yeah, I didn't subscribe to this. What?
Mine's similar to Tim's in that, like, I would just want to be as subtle enough of a ghost that the person would think they're going insane rather than suspect a ghost. So, like, I would just watch them all the time. I would, like, put their phone on the other side of the table. I would, like, rearrange the fridge. But it would all be stuff that would just make the person be like, there's no way I put this here. I know it. And then they'd go insane.
Yeah. Wait, that actually might be happening to me. Because I spent, like, an entire week looking for my headphones, and they were just, like, in a clothes drawer.
That's a very interesting place to find it.
You have a 1 and a 3-year-old. You're just normally going insane.
Yeah.
Nothing supernatural is happening. You just have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and you're going insane.
See, honestly, on the vein of that, like, of interacting with electronics and stuff like that, it would go the opposite way, that you could just interact with certain things just subtle enough to, like, when I did a lot of art classes and stuff, there was, like, imagine someone doing pottery, and then, like, think, oh, this is my masterpiece, and then you just start, like, smudge something, or like you just like after they leave, but they're by themselves and they're like, what the fuck, and then they have to try to fix it, and then you just keep messing with them like that. Like, just go around artists and just mess with them. I've seen it firsthand of how it can drive them crazy, honestly. Like, oh yeah, I closed the annealer. Oh, then why are all the pot, like the glass ornaments exploded? I swear I did it, you know. You
just, I did.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, with a lot of subtle stuff like that, like, you're like, oh, this was really good, but why is there, like, an imprint? Huh.
You're like, wait a minute, this looks like the head of somebody's penis.
Yep.
Okay, I just thought of a really creative way I would haunt the world. All right, stick with me here. I'd want to become like a famous ghost, like one that people like talk about as like legend.
So ooh!
What I would do is I would spend my entire eternity. I would choose somebody to murder in some specific way, like pushed off a building, something like that. And then I would spend every waking moment finding another person that looks just like that person. And I would lure them to the exact same place and murder them in the exact same way. And I would do that over centuries. So that as the newspaper clippings and the internet and like the internet articles showed up, it would look like the same fucking dude dying in the exact same way, in the exact same place over the course of like 300 years. And then it would be fucking some really insane ghost that really hates this one kind of person.
What was the cause?
It would look like the, it would look like the same guy's dying. Yeah,
it was the cause of death, detective? Somebody kicked him in the dick until he died. It's like a story 100 years ago.
It's the dick kicker ghost.
What did I say anniversary?
The
Titanic anniversary.
This is a picture of him. Why, detective? Oh, my God. Like you.
Blonde hair, blue eyes, large penis.
Dude, where they wrote that down in the obituary, but okay.
I mean, a very cruel way you could actually be a ghost, too, is haunting an insane asylum. By, like, people trying to get better, and they're just like, I swear I've seen him! And you're just, like, phasing in and out, but it's actually, like, really happening in reality and stuff.
You'd only haunt people would do that something. Are, like, about to get out. Drive them back into insanity, and then leave them alone.
They're, like, about to get out there doing the test. You're like, oh, you see, you're making a lot of progress. And then you, as a ghost, go into the panel and then say, hey, so what do you think about this? And they answer you, but no one's there.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, you,
no sir, one ever like, leaves. You get better, but you never leave.
You, like, you show up, and they're like, oh, look, it's the Hat Man again. They're like, oh, I'm sorry. You
gotta go back.
You were doing so well.
you were doing so well. We have to put you in the hole again. You're like, no, don't do that.
I love how Jake started this with, oh, what's the funniest thing you do as a ghost? Like,
it gets cruel.
Torture people as a ghost.
I'm gonna get mean. I'm surprised that nobody went with the I'm still gonna be romantic with my wife, because there's a really good movie just about that, and nobody went for it.
Not Patrick Swayze, sorry.
No, I went with Killing Pets.
John knew exactly what he wanted to do. He didn't even hesitate.
Or John just starts killing squirrels everywhere.
No.
Just enters a yard, just kills all the squirrels, and they're like, oh my god, these squirrels just keep dying around this property.
All the squirrels
that
like
property.
And all the squirrels died of fright. Like they clearly like arms and legs up in one position, a scared face.
Oh, ancient spirit, why do you keep murking all these squirrels as you show up? And be like, you know they're rodents, right?
They're literally they have to chew on things because their teeth keep growing. They're rodents.
They're pests. They're little monsters.
Hey. No, they're
and they
beautiful,
fucked my heart up.
This is the legend. Creatures.
This is the legend of John's ghost. Kills pets in the house and then leaves dead, terrified squirrels all over the house.
All over the yard.
That's awesome.
They know what they did.
This guy was clearly a plant guy.
Yeah.
What was everyone's squirrel sign today? I'll go first. My squirrel sign today was the squirrel running across the top part of a wooden fence. So, I mean, it's mostly just like any kind of small, near object that a squirrel is running across of signifies that you're kind of, you're walking a tightrope balance in life today, and you have to be careful not to go too far to the left or to the right.
I thought it was just because you jump onto the fence and you're a fence rider and choose either way to go.
I don't think you understand how squirrel signs work.
I think it's bullshit. That's what I think it is.
John, you must have seen a squirrel today.
I did, yes.
What was the first squirrel you remember seeing? What was it doing?
I was sitting at the base of my tree eating my goddamn walnuts.
That means a squirrel's going to eat your nuts, John.
A squirrel seen at the base of a tree signifies like resilience and persistence amidst great hardship.
What do you think its zodiac sign was?
I mean, I don't know when the squirrel was born. I don't believe that crap, though.
What a fucking Capricorn.
That's horseshit, John.
No, what's your squirrel sign?
I have a squirrel sign.
Yeah.
It was either two squirrels wrestling or two squirrels trying to fuck.
Hell yeah.
They're off in a tree. I was talking to my dad. I was like, what are those fucking squirrels doing?
Oh, they're probably
I think you're right, son.
They're probably so, right.
I don't want to change our podcast rating to not safe for work.
It's already it is already there. We've made two penis jokes already.
And we've been talking about murdering Kelly, people.
Yeah, hey, Kelly, I assumed you high-fived the squirrel, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Went up into a tree, high-fived.
Which offered him a cigarette.
Saw him with his cigarette. Little...
And a Gatorade.
His red squirrel polo.
Well, the tone has really shifted in this room, in fact. What was mysterious and kind of creepy turned into dangerous and loud. Last episode, you guys defeated the... what was the creature? Or what was it called again? Oh, the Wailing Crystals. That's what they were called. With some crafting checks from Kezra, in fact. Because otherwise, I don't know when it was going to take you guys to crack these crystals open to stop the magic from happening. But let's talk about what's still in the room, because after you cracked the last crystal and turned the tone, and stopped the tone from emanating from them, it got very, very silent. Mm-hmm. And there is everybody standing in the room, and there's an omen dragon summoned by Ambrose just standing there.
Yeah. And I think at this point, Ambrose is... Well, is the ghost still trying to, like, cradle my head?
So the ghost is sort of she's sort of like holding herself and, mm-hmm. and as the tone stops, then you all just kind of like look around. If you kind of give her a minute, she says, "The tone, it's no longer happening." And she kind of goes over to it. She goes, "That's so interesting. I have notes on this." And then she floats over to the bookshelf and starts looking. She goes, "I wrote notes in here at some point, and I was drawing this," and then she goes over to her desk and starts like looking through pages, and she tries to pick them up, but because she can't, then she's like, one of the crystals, and then she floats back over. It looks like she's back into that same routine. So what do you guys want to do? Obviously you're not in danger anymore, but what do you want to do with her? Because she doesn't seem to be she doesn't seem to be interested in harming you guys at all. Mm-hmm. She doesn't seem like a danger to you. But she's clearly stuck in this routine.
First thing Ambrose is going to do, just because it's the omen dragon out, is that he's going to go up to it, and like it will kind of crane its head down a little bit. And he does say, and Kezra will understand, he goes,
"Sorry, Gregonosh, I did not know what we were fighting. You may go now."
And it just, the dragon just kind of fizzles out, kind of like into dust, and just like disappears. Like, I'm thinking like how Kezra, whenever he summons those red dragons, like they claw their way out the portal and stuff. Mm-hmm. But omen dragons are kind of like mysterious, and it just kind of like, or it turns into like, well, Jake will get this and John will get this, but like, you know how in Elden Ring, those bosses, what was the thing?
The Revenants?
No, the star, those star beast, the big ones with the skull heads, and when they do the teleport, it's like they go into a galaxy of stars for a moment, and that's what it looks like.
Yeah. Astil, yeah. No, that's awesome. So yeah, you dismiss him, and he just goes, "Thank you, Ambrose," and they just and disappears.
Yep, so dragon is gone.
Are you just talking to that dragon?
Oh, yes. Yes, he's a friend of mine, at least.
Yeah, you seem to have a pretty cushy relationship. What'd you call him?
Gregonosh. He's a omen dragon that I met in my travels.
You seem to have all kinds of secrets up your sleeves.
Oh, yes. I think we all are entitled to some. But first,
and then he will... I don't know if he'll... with this lady... So she's just going back and forth, right?
Yep. She goes from about this spot on the crystals over to her desk, and then she goes down to the south where the bookshelf is, and then she goes back up to this crystal. So,
and she is elvish, right?
Yeah. Okay. She's clearly an elf. Yeah. Let me pull up the picture again so you guys can see her.
Yeah. Because I see the headshot and I saw. Yeah.
Yep.
So cool looking though.
I love this artwork.
Yeah.
I posted it recently, but. But yeah, the artwork's really cool. But yeah, she's clearly an elf, and it's clearly her body sitting at the desk.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's beyond desecrated.
Mm-hmm.
But he will speak in elvish and try to get her attention. Yes. My lady.
Oh, yes, hello.
Hello. Is there a way we can help you out of here?
Well, I have so much work to do. You see, these crystals here, these purple ones, I'll show you. In my notes here, in any bit of conversation, you can pull her out for about a second and she answers a question, and then she goes right back to it.
Is there a check to do to put a ghost to rest, pretty much? Like,
go ahead and do religion.
Okay.
Yeah, I can roll on that as well.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking like old school rules of like just burn the remains and they will go away, but I don't think that's gonna happen. Oh. Not a terrible roll. 30.
We must spread salt everywhere. The only way to lay her to rest is with salt.
And I rolled a natural one.
I think I'm a good one.
Right.
Put the rocks on it. Must use the rocks.
The rocks. Use the minerals.
So, Ambrose, so you think that she's got this thing where she doesn't think that she can move beyond this work.
So I assume that, I guess?
That's what you're getting out of it. Every ghost has, like, a little bit of a different thing. So pretty much what you think you need to do is, like, you need to convince her that she can't do anything. Like, you need to either convince her she's dead, you need to convince her that her work is done, you need to do something to, like, tell her that, like, that she's stuck in this routine, that she needs to get out of it.
Yeah. So next time she goes back to her desk, like, that she looks like she's about to write into her notes or try to, he will kind of try to stop her again there. And
I mean, she just flows right through you unless you have, like, ghost touch or something.
No. But, I mean, that's not the issue. It's just that, like, whenever she goes, like, oh, let me write this on my notes. And then as soon as she tries that, he goes, oh, what's that there? And, like, he will point at a thing on her notes and kind of indicate, goes, oh, that's interesting. I think this is... And it's like, he's kind of, like, pretending to be, like, really impressed with her.
Okay.
And kind of like saying, like, oh, this is fantastic.
Oh, well, thank you. You see, these notes that I was taking here on these crystals, I heard this tone, and so I started to take these notes, and then she turns and looks at the book. The bookshelf across the way, and she goes, I have a book on it here. Oh.
You have a book on it? Let me get that for you. And
as you start to, like, pick up one of the books, and she kind of gets irritated, and she's like, no, please don't touch them. They're very important.
Important? How so?
These are my works. I was working here. I was working very hard. I almost had a breakthrough with these. Please don't touch them. You see this crystal here, and she's
she goes
right back into the routine.
Yeah, it's like dealing with someone with dementia. Actually,
Kevra's gonna look at the notes.
Well,
I'm gonna go read.
If she showed irritation, that's why I fear she's on to attack.
Well, so if you just go look at them, that's fine. It seems to be when you touch them.
Okay.
When you tried to interact with them, she didn't like you touching.
Okay.
Them.
So he's not going to touch them, but with Kezra.
I'll say this with your 30, you know that would be disrupting her routine because it would be changing something.
What, picking it up?
Yeah, so, like, moving anything seems to disrupt her routine, and that's what seems to set her off. So you want to just kind of eyeball the notes and stuff like that, Kezra?
Yeah.
Okay. So without touching it, you can see that it looks like there are several volumes of evocation magic that are open on the desk. You can tell just kind of like in some of the notes and some of the drawings. You're not too sure what exactly they do because they're written in Elven. Mm-hmm. Do you read Elven?
Good question. I don't think so. My intelligence probably isn't that high. Nope.
I read.
No. It looks like she has some pretty powerful magic here, and it looks like a lot of these notes are to do with a certain type of crystal, school of crystal magic.
Oh, shit. Man, it's like the primal current thing going on right now.
If you guys figure this out, I'm very excited, because it's really, really cool. If you're able to get past this, this little scenario.
I mean, Ambrose does know Elvish, so...
So if you go over, sort of looking through the notes without, like, touching them...
Yeah.
It looks like she was taking notes on the nature of the Ayadara. Mm. These things look old. So who knows how long she's actually, like, been here. But as you can kind of shift through a little bit, and you know, you like pick up a piece of paper, and then when she gets mad, you just put it back down. Mm-hmm. So you know, you're like getting little bits and pieces. It looks like there is something that you read on one of the pages that it's only like a snippet, so you know that there's like something deeper in here. But it looks like something called the Practices of the Crystal Keeper. And in the one page you read, it looks like that would be considered mechanically an archetype.
Oh, Crystal Keeper is an archetype.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, interesting.
Hmm.
So I guess from the part that he reads, like, he'll see Kezra and kind of like wave him over.
Yeah, he comes and checks it out.
Yes. What have you found? Do you know anything about this Crystal Keeper?
Is this something I could roll Arcana or Crafting on?
Yeah, roll Arcana on. It's gonna be a tough one though. Mm. I'll give you that. So go ahead and try.
That's what I like. That's what I like to hear.
Ooh, that's pretty good. That'll be a 36.
Ooh.
Okay, that is good. So you've heard of this Crystal Keeper archetype. I'll link it to you, because what it is that it's an actual, like, it's an actual Crystal Keeper. There it is. So in the era before Earthfall, the Elven people of Galarion exhibited a wide range of mastery over magic. A sect of elves who venerated the goddess Yarol first developed the techniques of the Crystal Keeper, but this tradition has since long been forgotten by most of the world. There are those who still remember, though. So what it is that this seems like a totally distant and almost forgotten art of magic. And it is an archetype that you can take. So you could train into it at some point. So first off, what you would get is... it's a legacy thing, so I might have to adjust a little bit. But it's a lot of crystal-based spells. And going to reference Elden Ring again. You know the glintstones?
Yeah, the glintstones, yeah.
That's exactly what it feels like when you start reading through stuff.
The primeval current.
It's just like this crystal tonal magic. It's really neat, but it doesn't. There's nothing in the notes from what you read that would kind of help you. It looks like you might just have to talk to her and try to just convince her that like her work is done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you want to try to talk to her, tell me what you want to do, and then it's just a diplomacy check.
do have diplomacy. I mean, honestly, between both of me and Kezra, we could probably do some sort of combo thing to, like, if once Kezra relays all that information, like, to be like, then I can roll a diplomacy check to be like, oh, this is fantastic. Like, you know, that sort of thing. Like, yeah. To relay, now that I have kind of a gist of it. So he will then say, he's like, this is astounding. I believe you've done it, this crystal keeper. And, like, he's just kind of fawning over it and playing up the act because, I mean, like, he doesn't exactly fully know, but at the same time, it's still amazing work. Like, and he's like, this is, I believe you did it. I believe your work is complete. And he's going to roll diplomacy on this.
All right.
Boy, let's go.
if anybody would like to aid, this would be the point to do it.
Yeah. If anyone else knows diplomacy. Yeah.
I got good diplomacy.
I do too.
Like, Ambrose is right. Your knowledge about these crystals far exceeds any modern contemporary. I believe you've really dug up or cracked this geode wide open.
she sort of giggles at your pun.
This is impressive work.
Ooh, nice.
Got a 20 to aid.
Okay. Got a 32 to aid.
Phew.
Alright, and I rolled a 36.
Okay. Diplomacy DC 36.
That's 36 without the aid, so.
I know, but I'm just saying. God. That's yes.
We have low margins.
So, yes. So, here's what happens is that you sort of go over it and you guys are convincing her, and she looks back and forth and she goes, but I can't leave. There's still so much to learn. And she looks and she. Almost like in a fit of like agitation, because you're clearly trying to break her out of this routine that she's stuck in. She like knocks something over and it like knocks over her body, her skeleton that was in the chair. And she just turns to you all and it's just like, I don't know how long I've been gone. All my work will stay here. And she's almost just, like, in shock.
No. Your work will move on. We will pass it on. Please. You may go. Find rest.
And with that, she gracefully cradles your head again, and then she just disappears. So... Good job, because that if you failed, that would have been combat.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Your work sucks. Get out of here.
Yeah, like, if that didn't work, I was just about to hawk over the bookcase and we'd have to fight her. That's what I was thinking.
Man, we nailed it. That was awesome.
You just go, these books are for nerds, and you just kick that.
Yeah.
So you learn that Talamira... had been here for untold years, just researching this stuff. She was, by the way, a 13th level ghost fucking 7th level spells.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
She couldn't help.
Yeah. No. She could not. So what you find is that it seems that these crystals started to grow, and as she was studying them, she noticed that there was something going on with them, and that, like, she kept feeling ill, but she wanted to find out. And what you kind of piece together is that whatever necrotic energies are in this, it seemed to infect her until she just ceased to exist. But because she was not done with her work, she could not leave.
Yeah. So what was the source of the necromancy?
You're not sure. There was something going on with the crystals. But that's what she was trying to figure out, was because there's this magic attached to it, but it made no sense to her. And because she was studying, and because she was a crystal keeper in her life, she was trying her best to figure out what was going on with it. You find a lot of information that probably you would know about the Iodara and how it works. The collection of ancient texts includes original copies of Elven philosophical treatises, as well as various works of arcane theory thought lost. Perhaps most importantly, these books contain information about a tradition of magic that is all but lost to Elven society, the practices of the Crystal Keeper. If you study these for references, you will gain access to the Crystal Keeper archetype. So all of this stuff, all of these ancient texts and all this magic, is about 20 bulk.
Jeez.
So, not taking it with you. However, it would go for about 500 gold pieces to an interested buyer.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Additionally, there are two scrolls that you find on her desk.
Ooh, yay.
Yeah, scrolls.
That's what I like to hear.
Let's scroll.
No, we're not that far from Kionin. Ugh, poops. 22 on the Arcana.
Is it?
22. I don't... that's not going to get you the first one. Ambrose, do you want to try?
What is it exactly? Is it Arcana check?
Yeah, it'd be Arcana.
Can I do it untrained? Because I do have a feat for rolling, but I'm just...
Gotcha.
Stuff for that.
Well, I mean, you could potentially roll it with a different...
Like a cult?
Yeah, you could do it with a cult, but yeah, if it's not like an occulty spell, it's like you can give it a harder DC for occultism.
Maybe yeah. I'll look it over with religion then. I know it's not divine, but perhaps maybe I studied some other spells too.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind the higher DC because I got a pretty chunky religion bonus.
A lot of spells span.
So
it
is...
at least like three of the four traditions.
Actually, you can do divine or occult.
Oh,
there you go.
They are, yeah. This particular one is in all 30. Three of those traditions. So,
Ambrose, be careful! What you have in your hand is great necromancy. That is a spell to raise the dead.
As I roll another one.
Yeah, I rolled another one.
Oh my god, you're getting them out of the way for sure. What? Really? Rolled a 30.
All right, so you get. I'll give you success there. So that is a scroll of planar seal. You create a visible magical barrier that attempts to counteract teleportation effects and planar travel into or out of the area, including items that allow for extra-dimensional spaces. Planar seal tries to counteract any attempt to summon a creature into the area, but doesn't stop the creature from departing when the summon ends.
Oh, interesting.
And then there's a second scroll as well. This one should be much easier.
Well, didn't Kelly roll when you said that it got that one or something?
You rolled for the first one and rolled low.
I rolled 30 one? on the other one.
Oh, on the other one. The other one is true speech. Also known as tongues.
Cool.
Target can understand all words regardless of language and also speak the language of other creatures. When in a mixed group of creatures, each time the target speaks, it can choose a creature and speak in a language that creature understands, even if the target doesn't know what language that is, which is very weird. It's like waking up and knowing Portuguese.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, but not knowing you know Portuguese. That's really weird.
Kezra looks at Ambrose and he's like,
I don't know where you draw your source of magic. But are these scrolls of any interest to you?
You said the one was the planar seal?
Planar
right?
seal.
Planar seal.
But you said that, like, stops teleportation and stuff?
It can stop teleportation, and it can also... planar seal tries to counteract any attempt to summon a creature into the area as well. So.
Yeah, so it lasts a whole day. So you cast it in a 60-foot burst area, and it lasts a whole day. So it'd be good if you're like trying to keep like a creature, fighting a wizard, fighting a some boss or a lich or I don't know whatever else.
I mean, it's only two actions too, so it's not even like a ritual. You know what I mean?
I could take that. You could use tongues. As well, because I think that'd be good for something. I mean, I know a couple languages, but I mean, is tongues like a day thing too, or is that?
Tongues is true speech. One hour.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we can tuck that away for a bit.
Planar Steel is also a level 7 spell, so we couldn't cast it if we wanted right now.
Couldn't.
Oh, well, there you go.
Oh, gosh.
We'll tuck that in our back pocket again.
It was just a little use magic device check, you know? just a little try.
Yeah, just a little. But, with
all the stuff that you find, you realize that you can't take it with you, but obviously nobody's going to be able to have access to these ancient tomes anyway. So you could leave them here and, you know, Talamir is gone, so there's nobody really watching over it. It's up to you guys. But unless somebody has an Eye of the Wise, they're not getting in here.
We've heard a story like that before. But don't worry, you guys will have access to these gates for the whole campaign.
Yep.
Until you get stabbed in the back.
Stabbed in the back by some dirtbag.
I don't know, guys. I heard he was pretty cool. He doesn't afraid of anything.
All right. Oh my God, it's an old joke. Doesn't afraid of anything. All right, you guys gonna go through the gate?
Yeah, Kessler's like,
oh yeah.
We should be ready for anything. By the notes that we have, they're at least close to the gate. Could be right on the other side for all we know.
That's a good point. Is anyone hurt?
Yes, I'm a little hurt.
No.
I'll come over here, Kezra. Your body doesn't look too misshapen. I should be able to patch it up.
Boom.
Alright, so I just went for like the regular 20 DC, DC 20 for the expert because I didn't want to try to dig the master because I'm going to roll like garbage. Glad I did. Just barely made it. So, I will give you 19 hit points.
How about, do you need more?
I'm good.
You're good? I could try again in 10 minutes, because I have continual recovery.
I'm down 7. I'm fine.
Alright, well, I mean...
A little further.
I can just auto-succeed and give you 2d8 for the next 10 minutes. And I heal you 12. And I need to roll... While you guys were all looking at stuff and diplomacying and scouting around, I rolled 2 checks. I figured we'd be here for a bit. I didn't make the first one. I made the second one, so I'm only down 12 hit points, so I'm going to try to roll again. And I make it because I went for the DC 20. Got a 7 on the die. 8. And a box. 11 plus 9 is 16. So I think I'm full. Yep. Right, so no one else got hurt. Everyone's good?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
Yeah, we're good.
All right. Well, I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Benson goes to walk through the portal.
All right. You all walk through. I'm going to... Oh, wait. I need to make sure lighting and all that shit, because it's always wrong.
Jake, what's all these bad guys right here?
I know. Well, not, no. That was just the
is that
lighting.
A dragon?
is that a dragon with, like, a jerkin of the Scarlet Triad over it? Just like, hey, guys, I'm joined.
All right. I have pulled you over into thy crystal tunnels.
Damn, those crystals be shining.
Oh.
Okay.
They shine bright like a diamond.
The crystalline walls of this 60-foot-wide cavern arch up 30 feet to a glittering roof. The ceiling walls and even floor of this cave sparkle with crystals of various sizes, shapes, and colors. And glowing whirls of energy periodically dart from one crystal to another. The stone arch of the jewel gate looms along one wall of the cavern, where you just came from, framed by a starburst of crystals, while three tube-like exits, circular in cross-section, exit the cavern from the wall opposite.
Look at all these crystals. Oh, I haven't seen crystals this fine in many a year.
That's a shot in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Could I roll lore Five Kings Mountains to see if I've ever heard of crystal tunnels in the Five Kings Mountains?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. You know, it would be a new character for Timmy if I didn't read the book ahead of time and select all the appropriate skills. Alright, so for Lower Five Kings Mountains, I got a 29.
29. So, I mean, all throughout the Five Kings Mountains, there's legends of people finding, you know, ore deposits and crystal tunnels and stuff like that. Because this one has not been broken down, you think you might have just found a new one.
Oh.
So, I mean, their crystals grow, you know, and dwarves mine them up and turn them into gems and stuff.
I don't want to get... What was that, Tsukiba? Sorry.
I was going to say, you have no idea where you are.
Right.
But you're in a crystal cavern somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Back in the homeland of the Five Kings Mountains, my parents would tell me tales of caverns full of crystals, much like this. Though in the Five Kings Mountains, most of them were already found. You know, we came from the ground, kind of found them on the way up, you know what I mean? However, there is always a possibility that there are ones undiscovered. I would be
well,
quite
since
delighted.
There's a exit to an Iodara here, somebody's found it.
That is a good point, Benson. But why would they not harvest the crystals? That is what confuses me. Wait, unless we learned about this elven god. They like things all naturel. So perhaps they do not want to touch the beauty with a tool.
Hmm. Elves would not be inclined to plunder the riches of this natural cavern.
Yes, that is a dwarf's work.
For the crystals, like, here and stuff, like, mm-hmm. is there a reason why they're so,
pointy?
PNG?
PNG, yeah.
Instead of
so,
JPEG.
Yeah, they're the ones who seem to be kind of, like, arcing energy off of each other.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, if you want to... I mean, it's all over. It's just that these seem to be, like, the main conduit for it.
Okay.
If you want to roll a knowledge, either arcane or any lore-specific one, you can try to find out. Actually, you could also roll religion.
Oh,
all right.
And I'll say why after you roll.
Religion, okay. Let's go.
Ugh. Just rolling garbage. 24.
Is there any way Benson could roll religion?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Yes. 20.
Benson not rolling like garbage.
That's what we need.
Seriously.
I just need to get my religion thing. Jim, 19,
19.
38.
38. That is enough to know that when you sort of walk up, you can hear that tone again, and you hear this like light wailing.
Oh God.
And it sounds like vocalized hunger.
Oh no.
Coming from these things, this like dark, almost necrotic hunger as you feel this energy sort of like reach out to you. As I need you all to roll initiative, as two of the patches move in your direction.
Oh God!
Crystal creatures.
Oh God!
Let's just hope they don't have a hardness 18 like those other gems.
I will show you the picture of one of them.
God damn it! It's exactly what I thought it is.
No, that poor doggo.
It's a crystal blob.
I don't know. So speaking of killing pets, this crystal blob thing is like killing someone's dog.
Yeah.
The crystal blob's my hero.
So let's go ahead and get initiative going here. Let's see. So these guys are going to...
Which ones are moving? Oh, okay, I see where they are now. Okay. I thought they were, like, the ones right next to Benson. I was like, what the fuck?
No. Luckily not. But, so they're going to move. Not great rolls, actually. Even roll of perception. All right, Benson, what'd you get?
Benson got a 34.
Okay. Ambrose.
32.
Okay. Garn.
26.
Okay. And Kezra.
27.
Oh my god. Kezra's right in the middle.
Oh man.
Okay. Right, so Benson, you are going first, so you notice, like I said, you almost felt this hunger from that crystal patch right in front of you, the PNG one that Mark pointed out. So you feel like you have to avoid that, but you can see that the crystal blob on the other side of that has started to move. But you just started your turn. I need you to make a will save as the subsonic hum starts to echo out into the chamber.
Great.
I'm not worried.
Thirty-two is a success. This success brought to you by Black Oak Workshop.
Where dice are treasure.
So, John, you can go ahead and take your turn.
That would have been a critical success, if that matters.
Doesn't matter, but...
Oh, well, that's good.
Well, so I can charge one, or I can get in defensive position. What do you guys want?
Let us plunge into the glory of battle.
Yeah, I say just go get them.
All right.
But stay close to each other.
Yes.
Alright, so... you got your religion check, so I'll say that you walked around that one crystal patch?
Yes.
Okay. Alright, go ahead and swing out at the first one.
Alright. Only a 27 with a 5 on the die.
That's a hit, actually.
These things must have a shitload of health.
Yep, slimes usually do.
It's like a slime and it's a construct.
Oh.
Yeah. Yep.
Unfortunately. 13 points of damage.
What type was that?
I still had my hammer up.
Still had your hammer. Okay. You crack this thing, and it looks like you cracked off a piece of it.
All right.
Okay.
And I have one more swing left.
All right.
And there you go. Nope, that's gonna miss.
All right. Viscount Ambrose.
Well, again, not exactly in a good choice here. He is actually going to cast a spell, and this does sound so cowardice, but he's going to go invisible.
Ooh.
Okay.
And it, as a flavor of the invisibility, it's kind of like a puff of smoke, and then he just... Oh god, I'm controlling everyone, apparently.
Ah. Oh no. All right, so you can move however you want, but first make me a will save.
Yes, of course.
Make me two.
Two? Oh, because I'm probably up in range.
Yeah, should have had John make me two as well.
Too bad. I didn't realize the range was that 34 big. On the first one.
All right.
And 32 on the second one, actually. So.
All right, both successes, so you're fine.
So he does cast that invisibility, but yeah, as I said, like, as a flavor, it's kind of like a more like a puff of like smoke as he vanishes.
Yeah, just poof.
And then he moves somewhere.
Kezra, Ambrose ran. Find him and bring me his head.
I'll kill him.
All right. So the crystal ooze thing on the south side is going to go first.
Wait, Kezra, do you still have the Eye of the Wise? It's missing.
And the portal closes behind.
Mark, you can't keep doing this, man. We got a show to run.
Oh man, wouldn't that be fun though? Now you have to walk all the way back to Breach Hill.
All right, so I am... they don't have great speed. It is a total of... Get this, 10.
Hell yeah.
Nice. Well, thanks for telling us that very useful piece of information.
So, 10... Well, I mean, you would have seen it by the way they're doing this.
That's true.
All right, so 10, 20, He's trying to go for you, Garn. I'm trying to see if he has... nope, doesn't look like he has anything like that. Oh, actually, from that last one... oh, he would not... Oh! Hold on. Where was he again? I can control Z that, right? Yeah!
Battery!
So he moves here.
Yeah.
Okay. And then all of a sudden, it goes, really, really quickly to the west. It's coming directly at you, Ambrose.
Fuck, they have tremor sense.
As it comes moving towards you, it opens itself up and it looks like a tsunami wave. Just wow.
Look at the dumb creature, it doesn't know where we are.
Has everybody here seen the blob?
Oh, I know of it, yeah.
It creeps.
Go ahead and make me a reflex save.
Not bad at a reflex, actually. Okay, 35, actually.
35, all right, so you avoid it. It's not basic, so you manage to avoid it. So it just sort of lands here.
Jesus.
Let's say you take a step back and it lands where you were. But it sort of just, like, crashes like a wave into that spot, and you manage to use your reflex to take a step back.
Quick question then for you. You said the crystals that were arcing energy back and forth, like, I guess it doesn't bother them, or...
No, it doesn't seem to bother them. Like I said, there just seems to be some sort of magic component to this, like, patch of crystals.
So it's not like there's lightning arcing between each one, right?
No. It's just, it's this hum. It's this,
okay.
Yeah, it's not like lightning. It's just arcane...
I was assuming the things from freaking Deep Rock Galactic, where there's, in certain levels, there's the lightning arcing between crystals, and you can get, like, shocked from it.
Yep. Yeah. You just walk through. All right. So that was that one's turn. Kezra, is your turn.
Kezra is going to roll a knowledge on these things.
All right. Go ahead and make it. I would say Arcana or a cult if you have that too.
I don't have cult. I have crafting. I have a crafting and an arcana. Well, recall knowledge isn't a trained only, so I could roll occultism. I have a decent roll. It would just, because I'm untrained, basically the info should either be vaguer or should be a harder DC kind of deal. Like, I don't get as much for it.
Sure.
I didn't make it. 18.
Worldly. 18. Yeah, I mean, these oozes all of a sudden move. This is so distant to you, you think that these might be, like, that they might be controlled by something. You're like, what the fuck is that?
Hey, well, whatever they are. I hope they burn, because I'm going to cast two blazing bolts.
Okay.
So just, hold on a second. Yeah, so arms go all scaly, erupt into flames, and then just streams of fire coming out both of them. Okay. 29 to hit.
29 is a hit.
And 26.
Also a hit.
Cool. And that'll be... 36 fire damage.
Okay, and this is to the one that attacked Benson or the one that attacked the wall?
It's the same damage for each of them.
Oh, okay, alright, so 36 to both. Okay, got it. Alright.
Alright, I guess technically I should roll the damage separate. Yeah. I can roll. I can roll the other one.
Okay, then I'll give 36 back to the one, and then
29.
How much he actually took? 29. Okay, Garn, it's your turn.
Oh, did I need to roll will save?
Yeah. Roll me 2 will saves.
2 will saves.
See if this happens at all.
Did you say I'll see if this happens at all?
Yeah. Oh, God.
I am using my other hero point. So here's this humming getting louder and darker, and he fights back, steals his mind. And that's alright, that's a little better. 29
success for the first.
Oh shit. 21.
That is a fail. You are stunned 1.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I'll take my I lose the action at the beginning of my turn when I gain my actions.
So. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So. Okay. All right. So it is still Garn's turn.
Okay. So I will roll the will saves now, right?
Yep, roll them at the start of your turn.
18 on the die for a 40. That's probably good. Of course, I'm rolling rocks now. I don't know about this one, though. 25.
Rolling crystals now. 25, that is... let me get back to it. 25, that is a fail, so...
Yikes.
Stunned 1.
Let me look up something, because I feel like I had something weird for Garn.
You got like a shake it off or something like that.
Taylor Swift enters his mind.
Gosh.
That's all we listen to in the mines.
Fun fact, dwarves, huge Swifties.
Nah, it's just a raw success, get a critical success sort of thing. Okay, so that doesn't really help. Alright, so you said, Kelly, I'm stunned 1 starting next turn.
Yeah.
So you do it, you get stunned when you gain actions. So the vibrations are getting to me. But they haven't quite punctured my focus. So with that in mind, Garn is going to take the opportunity where this crystal has so foolishly just ran itself into the wall and is just going to get right in front of it with one action. And I found out that when I start a combat, I get to... imbue my essence or the divine essence for free, which is sick. So I'm going to shift my eminence into the Morning Star, and with my next two actions, I'm going to try to fracture some mountains. So
here he goes.
Yep, I just got a hit, and I think these babies are easy to hit. So. Oh man, yeah, that's a 42 to hit.
Jesus.
Yep.
Damn.
Just once again, just crushing. It's a gem. It's like a mountain. The thing that I don't know, there's a lot of spear damage I'm going to calculate. So I don't know what kind of immunities it has, Jake. So just keep that in mind. I'll try to separate stuff out for you.
Okay. What kind of weapon are you using?
I'm using a bludgeoning. It is a bludgeoning Morning Star.
Okay, so let me see something really quick.
Yeah.
Because I need to see.
Hold up.
Uh-huh.
There's a caveat to Titan's Breaker, which I'm just reading, which is so cool. Constructs and objects are not immune to this spear damage. And this spear damage automatically bypasses an amount of their hardness equal to your level. So my level is 12, so all my spear damage would bypass.
Oh shit!
Okay, so they don't have a hardness, and they're not constructs; they're oozes.
Okay.
However, that bludgeoning seems to critically hit anyway.
Wait, what?
Yep.
I just got a crit?
Yes.
Bro,
let's go. Don't ask questions.
Don't ask questions. Yeah, until Jake goes. All right. By the way,
I looked at it, and here's what it is. This is in immunities. This is blah 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 blah. Then it says critical hits, except bludgeoning and blah blah blah.
Oh my
So you crack the hell out of this thing.
Oh my gosh.
Dummy cracked.
Okay, let me see if I'm reading this right. Titan's Breaker deals two additional spear damage per weapon dice. And then it says, when I use Fracture Mountains, your spear damage from the Icon Eminence increases to 4. Oh, no, increases to 6, because I'm at least 10th level. So it's 6 spear damage per weapon dice, and I get 2 extra... And 2 extra dice. I think it is just... I just get the extra 6 for these 2 dice, because I am striking, so I don't think I'm going to get 24 extra. But I get 12 extra, and then I have the plus... 5, so it'd be 17 off the bat, and then I roll 4d8, and then we'll double all of that.
Goodness, okay.
Okay, so 17. Oh my gosh, this is too much math. What I chose is such a math-heavy class. 17, 24, 39, 32,
so hard.
40. 40 doubled is 80 points of damage.
Oh my god.
Hot damn.
So, and once again, like the cavern shakes because I'm fracturing mountains.
All right, so you said 80 points, right?
80 points of damage.
All right, so here's what happens.
Okay.
You crack this thing and you split it down the middle, and all of a sudden, both of those sides seem to move independently of each other.
It's a black pudding situation.
It's any ooze, I think, does this.
Oh gosh.
What did you do, Garn?
I broke it. I broke it real well. Who said that?
It's a ghost.
Alright, so let me add this one to the initiative tracker. I think I'll just make it the same as its I'll put it directly behind.
Hey, Jake.
Good thing, though, is it took 80 damage, and then its health hopefully gets cut in half. So, shouldn't be that hard.
Jake, all right.
Oh,
quick point of order.
Sure.
How is the will save wording? Because I wanted to make sure I was getting that right with the stun, because I thought it maybe didn't feel in the spirit of it. What does it say? When does it say specifically, do you roll the will save? Is it at the start of the player's turn?
Yep. Yeah, a creature that enters or starts its turn within the aura must succeed at a will save.
Okay,
yeah.
So the order for starting your turn is tick numbers of rounds for like fear or something. Use a free action or trigger or reaction that states your turn begins. If you're dying, roll a recovery check, and then do anything else that is specified to happen at the start of your turn, such as regaining hit points or fast healing. The last step of starting your turn is always the same. It's regain 3 actions. So it is right that we start our turns done, because that's something happens at the beginning of your turn. So now it's right.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So after Garn cracks this thing, let me just make sure with split really quick. Yes. So they do mechanically have half the original hit points,
nice.
But you don't know what that is.
Right.
But there are now more carnivorous crystals. Alright. Is that the end of your turn there, Garn?
Yep.
Okay. The carnivorous crystal that is up in front of Benson, it is going to... So it's going to do... It's going to do one thing where it is going to try to engulf you, Benson. So it's going to just slide through you and try to just consume your entire body inside of it. So please make me a reflex save.
Like how I said, stay close to Benson, right. And you guys went the opposite side of the room. You know, the guy whose main kit is protecting us.
Yeah.
That'd be
I just had to follow. I didn't want to leave Ambrose. I thought he'd be.
He was invisible.
You don't know where Ambrose is.
Fuck, man.
That's
gaming.
I did. And then I was like, let me just attack that crystal.
I rolled a 35.
Whoa. 35. Okay. So, success. So, you managed to dodge out of the way and it just lands on the other side of you. In which case, it is just going to swing around with a pseudopod and try to hit you.
All right.
Swap. 37 to hit.
That hits.
Okay. This is going to be 28 points of piercing damage.
I don't like that.
Piercing.
And
so it's 26 points of piercing damage.
So, is your resistance for piercing or slashing? I think. I thought it was just slashing.
Yeah, it's slashing. Never mind.
Okay, gotcha. All right. But that is the end of his turn. So it is now going to be your turn, Benson, but please make me two will saves.
I would love to make you two will saves, Jake.
Is this hum just continues to, like, pervade your old mind.
Yeah, my lowest one is a 32.
32. All right, so you're fine, so you can continue with your turn.
All right, swinging away with my hammer.
You are jerks who got expert will saves at this level. I mean, or master or whatever.
Blow me. does a 27 hit. Not a great roll.
Yeah, 27 hits.
All right. That is only 10 points of bludgeoning damage. Duh, trash roll.
All right, but it does seem to all go through.
Yeah.
And next attack. Oh, fuck. That's going to be a miss. Two and die.
All right.
Not good. Final attack, swinging for the fences. Maybe I'll get a natural 20. I got a natural 20.
All yes. Right.
Yes.
Bludgeoning.
It's weird because I'm using the blue cat eye die, and it's like this weird little cat symbol. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? I was like, oh.
Is that a number?
Isn't those the kitty clacks from Black Oak Workshop?
Yes, they are. They are my favorite dice right now.
So you got surprise opening. You gain one action that you can use before the end of your next turn to use an attack action against the target. So you get another attack.
Yep, so another attack. So let's do the damage for this first.
Oh, man. And it's going to split.
I'll tell you, it's definitely going to split, yeah.
24? Really? 24 points of damage? God.
That's doubled?
I used the critical, yeah.
Yep, that's doubled.
Oh, it's just really fucking bad.
All right. So it takes 24, and then it does, in fact, split.
Gosh.
So it's going to be... Bloop! Splits right in front of you, Benson. And then... does he have this action from this crit? Does he have it only for this turn?
Before,
or does
until
he get
the end of his next.
Okay.
I thought it was before the end of his turn.
I thought it was before the end of his next. I'm about to pull that up.
You gain one action that you can use before the end of your turn.
Oh, okay. So
then I'll just attack again.
Yeah, just get another attack. Still at minus 10. Doesn't go any lower. John doesn't throw his dice on the ground.
Yeah, I was so mad from that shit. that's only a 24, so...
Hit.
Yeah, ooze.
God damn it.
Yeah, they probably have like 400 HP.
I'll say it's the one directly in front of me.
To the south?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
I almost did as much damage with that regular attack roll than my crit. Fuck me. 20 points of bludgeoning damage.
Oh my gosh.
20 points of bludge. Okay.
I mean, that's a great use of that card, though.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, for real. Ambrose.
Have to roll, what, 4 will saves?
Yeah, you will now.
Okay.
As these hums seem to have multiplied.
Okay, first one's 35. Oh, pretty decent. 36 on the second one. I'm moving up. That was a 16 and a 17. Oh, no. Here it goes. 25.
25, that is going to be...
So,
that is a fail.
Am I stunned on this turn or next turn?
This turn.
You're stunned on this turn.
Oh, shit.
And once you fail, you can only become stunned one, so if you fail one, okay, then you don't have to roll anymore. So. Okay, so you're still just stunned one.
Okay, so he sees that Benson's being ganged up on, and he... See, I don't have any... I can't cast a spell because I'm fucking stunned. It kind of ruins what I want to do. He's gonna take his two actions and move. So he's gonna move.
Right.
Hold on.
Oh wow! Boop.
60 feet away.
Oh my gosh, you're fast.
I mean, he's using all of his move actions, so two move actions. He's 30 feet of movement. But yeah, that's it. That's his turn.
Alright, Ambrose goes running to the other side and he looks back and you ran really far away, but I'll say this, that hum is still in your ears. And I'll see you guys next time.
Always end on my turn.
Passed off.
There's two crystal oozes coming before you. Hey there, everybody. Jake, the GM here once again. I am here to tell you about a very special day that's coming up. One that's close to my heart, and that's Father's Day. And I'm sure that you think, oh, I could buy my dad a gift. And yeah, he might love dice. He might love adventure. But here's the thing. If you have kids of your own, maybe buy yourself a Father's Day gift this year or hint at somebody to buy one for you and start having adventures with your own kids. I can't wait to do that myself, and we've already had some, and they're so much fun. So please take time this Father's Day, have adventures, and never stop playing. As always, make sure to use Dragon Punch Squad to check out at MistyMountainGaming.com, and I'll see you in the next episode.